Just have a drink of water, thank you. Well, as I say, it has been really good to come and share with you again. It's always a privilege to come to Rington. The welcome is always so good, and the fellowship. Really a praise to God. So I do thank you for you here and pray for you into the future as a fellowship. So it's Remembrance Sunday. We think about those who gave their lives in fighting as we've just prayed. And remember those who still suffer. And it was, as I was thinking about today, that Psalm 71 came to mind. Because if you look at the beginning of the psalm, it actually says, "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge." So many people are looking for refuge. I understand that you've got some refugees in a hotel close to you here. The sadness of having to leave home, family, is incredible. And we all need a refuge. God is our refuge, the psalmist says. Even in recent wars, as we think of the Falklands and Afghanistan and so on, wars don't seem to stop, do they? There's always somebody wanting to get something out of it. A desire to be in charge, if you like, or have authority and power. And yet, God calls us to be peacemakers. I've got a little Oxford dictionary at home that defines refuge as shelter from pursuit or danger or trouble with a person or place offering this. So you need to have peace. How many of us have peace of mind these days in the difficulties we face? We face a lot of difficulties at the moment, don't we? With cost of living, fuel crisis, and then there's all these strikes that are going on with trains and buses and nurses and all sorts of people. But the Bible does tell us if we're looking for somewhere to find refuge, God is the place to go. I'm saddened, I must admit, by the seeming lack of interesting Christian things, in the lack of morality or honesty in daily life or in political life for that matter. And yet God is the only one who can sort this one out. We can't as individuals, we're just ordinary, like we're trying to say with the children. We may not be powerful, we may not have any influence, but we have a God who cares and a God who can move in power. I love the Psalms. They were written probably over a period of about 1,000 years, amazingly, from the time of Moses right through to the time of the prophet Ezra. I didn't count it, but there are 7 authors, somebody tells me, but there are a lot of anonymous psalms as well. And this particular psalm, Psalm 71, that you read for us, thank you very much, was quite a long psalm, hasn't got an author, hasn't got a title. When a psalm doesn't have a Hebrew title, there's nothing to translate it into English. But some people seem to think that the author, in fact, of this Psalm 71 was probably David. If you turn back, if you've got your Bibles, to Psalm 31, it starts almost the same, and that is, for the director of music, a psalm of David. "In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue and be my rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me. Since you are my rock and my fortress, for the sake of your name, lead and guide me." Almost the same as the beginning of Psalm 71. The psalmist is looking back, really, on his history as a follower of the Lord. He's always had some troubles, I suppose, to be sure. All of us have trouble at times, of different sort, of different kind. Always there are things that we can look back on, and we can learn from, if we're wise. But how important it is to trust in God, who has never failed us. Remember a song we used to sing, "God can do anything but fail." And that's true of our God. He cannot fail if we trust him. Nothing can make the psalmist in his psalm despair. As long as he has God with him, the future is full of hope. Which is amazing, really, when you think of that. Spurgeon makes a comment about this particular psalm, and he says this: "The prayer of the aged believer, who in holy confidence and faith, strengthened by a long and remarkable experience, pleads against his enemies and asks for further blessings for himself." Moses actually says, when he's blessing the Israelites, just before his death, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And you're looking at this particular psalm, it's been a bit of a surprise to me, really. I realised that the title, God is Our Refuge, covers a lot more than what we perhaps would pick up straight away, and tells us what an amazing God we have. And I also find interest when things are a bit like alliteration, you know, when things start the same. And we found in this psalm that there are five other words besides rescue that begin with the letter R, or refuge. They are refuge, rescue, righteousness, rock, restoration, and redeemer. Well, if we did a sermon on all of those, we'd be here till tomorrow. But we're not going to do that, of course, but to recognize how much we can see of God and his love and his care through the life of the writer of this psalm. I don't know how many of you keep a diary for things that have gone by. I wish I always did, but I can't look back and see things. But when you look back on life and see what God has done in your life, or perhaps you feel he hasn't done, there's remembrance there, isn't there? And as I think about that particular reference to Spurgeon, the prayer of the aged believer, it's easier to look back, isn't it, and to see God's hand on your lives. I rejoice that I can do that. I call myself an aged believer because I'm getting on a bit. So we can all recognize the power of God in our lives when we look back. It's not quite so easy, is it, when we begin to look now or into the future. Pauline and my wife here this morning have many blessings, many things to thank God for. And it's in doing that, as the psalmist did, as he looks back, he sees that God's blessings are there for him also today and into the future. So if we look at the first three verses of the psalm, you'll see the four words: refuge, rescue, righteousness, and rock. What do you and I need today as a refuge? And who's going to rescue us? We think of life today, here in the UK or elsewhere across the world. Refugees from wars, rumours of wars. And sometimes, of course, what seems to be, with regard to the problems with the climate, the writers of the news refer to apocalyptic events. It's almost biblical language, isn't it, in that sense? I can't say it myself now. Apocalyptic events. Fires that we saw, storms that we've seen, even flooding, famine, greed. How are we all going to cope? Even with the COP27 recently, they all say, yes, we're going to do this or that and the other. When you look back on what actually has been done, nobody wants to give away or be worse off than somebody else because it means sacrifice for COP27. Today, if I was arriving from some outer space planet, I would say the world's in a mess. We don't know where we're going, we don't know how to get there. But we've all gone through some of those difficult times. Terrible stress on our own personal lives, as well as pressure on people like the NHS for their amazing caring for us through the pandemic. Has that been your experience? I wonder sometimes, as I keep hearing on the news, I turn it off a lot of the time, I don't want to listen to so many bad bits of news all the time, about whether any of us have ever in our lives been unable to pay our fuel bills or our food bills. Many people have, they don't have those resources. So where do we go then for help? Do I try to sort it out myself? Well, I can't, can I? The psalmist is saying, go to God first. I don't know about you, but I find it encouraging. The psalmist encourages us to talk to God. And the important thing after that is to listen. Do you know it's strange if you have a prayer time or a meeting, we know we talk to God. Are we uncomfortable with the quiet? Sometimes we feel if there's nobody's praying, well, there's nothing going on. But there is, because God was willing to speak to us in the quiet. In fact, you can't have a conversation with somebody if you do all the talking and they just sit there, can you? The psalmist, in a way, reflects upon his enemies as well. We find it in verses 12 and 13. He says, be not far from me, O God. Come quickly, O my God, to help me. May my accusers perish in shame. May those who want to harm me be covered with scorn and disgrace. probably not the language we would use today, because as we are people of the New Testament, God has told us to love our enemies. And when I think of the atrocities that go on just now, particularly in the Ukraine, it's difficult to love your enemies, isn't it? So difficult. And yet, we can pray for them. The psalmist seeks justice. God, his enemies tell him, have forsaken him. He's gone. You've not got over God anymore. And perhaps today, as we talk about Jesus, as we try to share our Christian life, people will say to us, I don't need God, he's not relevant. Or I can manage on my own. But can they? If we try to seek that God is not near us, then who's moved? Not God. Us, we've moved away from him. He will never, ever move away from us. So amidst all his history and his worryings, the psalmist has not lost the knowledge or the assurance of his God. In verse 14 of the psalm, we read, but as for me, I shall always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, although I know not its measure. We sang some amazing songs this morning, real blessing. It's been a joy to sing those songs. I haven't sung some of them for ages. It really is an opportunity to rejoice as we sing together. But the psalmist says, I will always rejoice. So there is that, those thinking of those words, we have the rescue, we have refuge, and we have righteousness. There's another one. I will always follow him because he knows God's righteousness, and the fact that he's a rock and a fortress to go to. It enables him to praise with his harp and his lips shout for joy. It is good to sing, isn't it? Particularly when we know it. It's not so easy when you don't know it, but when you recognize the words and you can enjoy the words that we sang earlier on, it's a real opportunity to open our mouths and to sing. That's what the psalmist talks about. I will praise you with the harp. Well, we haven't got a harp this morning, have we? But we have some good musicians and some good singers, which is a joy to be able to share with them. And verse 22 goes on to say, I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you. Is that what we've been doing this morning, isn't it? Giving praise to God. He loves to hear our singing. He loves to hear us worshipping and enjoying the singing and the opportunities to give him praise and honour. There's another interesting thing as well, I think. There's a word restoration in here. The passage tells us about restoration in verse 20. It says, though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life. If we wander away from God, if he's not close to us, he's longing to restore us to his closeness. The psalmist is sure that though he's been through all sorts, God will restore him. It reminds me of the wonderful story, which I love really. We call it The Prodigal Son. I don't like that title, in fact. I like the title, The Celebrating Father. It's much more about the celebrating father than it is about the son, really. You know the story, the son goes off, hurts his father amazingly, because in those days you wouldn't normally have your inheritance until your father had passed away. But he wants it now. I want to go and spend some money. And off he went and did some riotous living. Gone against all that he'd been taught. But he finds his way back. And to me the most wonderful thing is that his father's been out there looking for him all this time for him to come back. Even though he's done terrible things, the son finds refuge and he finds restoration because of the love of the father. Do we need to go to God for restoration this morning? God loves you and meets you wherever you are in the same way, because the father loves us and he's looking out for you if you need restoration. If you don't, he's willing to help you with all the problems that we face today. Which brings us probably to the last of the R's, which is redeemed. We've all been redeemed because of Jesus' death on the cross. We're going to share about that a bit later on. Jesus gave his life for us that we could be redeemed and become children of God. Verse 23 reads, My lips will shout for joy and I will praise to you, I whom you have redeemed. Not wishing, the other day I noticed a comment that I read that the text is very important. If you think about context, you're not supposed to take text out of context. If you do take text out of context, you're left with what? A con. And it's so easy to think, well, you know, we'll take that out and use it somewhere else, but it's out of context, it could be a con. Sorry, that's an aside really, but there's an amazing thing here that we must remember. And I'm going to take it a little bit out of context by quoting Exodus 15, although it's not necessarily true in this instance. In your unfading love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. What a promise from God. What an amazing promise. Redemption meant to the psalmist restoration from the depths of the earth. And whether he was talking about the end times or with heaven, we don't really know from the psalm. But God has a promise for each one of us. Like the prodigal son, we could be welcomed back as a child of his and celebrate it. God's redeemed each one of us because of Jesus. No exceptions, no conditions of the past. If we look to him and seek to know him, he'll be there for us. God is there for us 24/7, and his promises will never, ever be broken. He is our secure and loving refuge. He's there for you and me with his arms outstretched. So we ask, perhaps, is God your refuge this morning? Do you know that deep love he has for each one of us? Amazing love. If you don't, come and ask somebody. Come and ask a question. Come and share something. As even in the midst of all we face, particularly the worries that must be for each one of us in different situations, God's still there and longs to be with us. And the final thought which came to me on this is that perhaps God is calling me to give refuge and help to somebody else. You should seek to do that in his name. And I understand you are, and that's great. There are so many people that need help just at this time. And we would ask God to help us to be his servants in that area. But most of all, what I enjoy about the psalm was that he loves us and will never forget us and will never leave us. So may you be blessed in the assurance of God's love and presence. Amen.